So Galatians 1, verse 6, if you have a Bible, it'll be on the screens as well in our YouVersion app, 6 through 10. Paul's telling the Galatian church, he says, "I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall upon anyone, including us, or even an angel from heaven who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. I say again what we have said before. If anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcome, let that person be cursed." And then here it is, verse 10. "Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant." So here's my question. Do you feel a responsibility, or do you feel upset when you leave a bad impression on someone? So the question to be answered is, how do you feel when you let people down, not because of something negative you've done, but because of who you are? The impression that we leave on people. Paul is telling the Galatian church, listen, I understand where you're coming from. I understand the reason that some of you are walking away, but I'm telling you because I love you, because you're my friend, I'm telling you, you need to stop doing what you're doing. And he says, I'm not trying to win friends here. I'm trying to speak the truth, whether you like the truth or not. That's a difficult place to be. It's a difficult place because every single one of us are born in this room with a desire to be loved. You are born with a desire for people to like you, for people to want to be around you, for people's approval, every single one of us. And we go to extremes on this. And everybody different. You all have your kind of weird quirks about you. We all have them. You're not special. We all have them. And a lot of them come down to this fact that we're trying to please someone in our life to like us. And I've learned in 20 years of ministry, I've learned this. And there's a lot of things I've learned, but I've learned this, that everyone knows what the preacher should be doing except for me. You've learned it. And this is what Paul's telling the church at Galatia. Things haven't changed in these years. Did you know, and I'm going to just talk about pastors for a second. And that's obviously what I do. It's actually something I've been a part of for a very long time. But there's some stats on pastors that really come down to a certain fact. And here they are. That the average span of a pastor, a lead pastor, is 10 years. The average span of a youth pastor, depending on the denomination, is 1.5 to 3 years. That 33% of pastors say that being in the ministry is a hazard to their family. 40% of pastors and 47% of their wives are suffering from burnout, frantic schedules, and/or unrealistic expectations. 50% feel that they are unable to meet the needs of the job. 52% of pastors say that they and their spouses believe that being in pastoral ministry is hazardous to their family's well-being and to their health. And 80% of pastors say that they have insufficient time with their spouses. To me, this all comes down to one thing. Pastors are trying to be people pleasers. See, when I don't know who I am, or when I make statements like, "Hey man, what's going on with life?" It's busy. It's crazy. It's chaotic. I would disagree with you. Your life is not crazy. It is not busy. If you allow it to be, you and I prioritize things. And so if I'm busy, it's because I'm choosing to be busy. See, more fruit comes from my life when I say no than when I say yes. More fruit. The difference is you and I have a very difficult time saying no, some of us different, but saying no because we want to please people. So when I say yes to people, then now I feel like I'm winning your approval, and by winning your approval, you're satisfied with me. And Paul's saying, obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people because I have to say no. I have to put my foot down. That's the reason Paul addresses the Galatian church in six chapters, because what he's saying to them is, guys, I'm not going to let this happen anymore. Whether you like me, whether you approve of me, whether you give me a vote of confidence, whether you come to my church, whether you continue to go there, I still have to say what I have to say, because I have to be a servant of Christ first. Crickets. Quietness. Why? Because whether we admit this or not, whether we're honest or not, I can't make you be honest, but I feel like, and this is my life, this is every single one of us, that a majority of the time, I'm not putting a percentage on, but a majority of the time, we would rather please people than man. I mean, than God. Again, not an admitted thing that we like to say. Yeah, I have no problem admitting that I would rather work my way up and please my boss than to work diligently for the Lord. I'm not going to admit that. Let me give us some stats. People who try to please everyone will eventually get tired. Tired to the point where you're ineffective. And you're saying things like, I'm ineffective because I'm busy. I'm ineffective. No, you're not busy. Your priorities are jacked up. That's why you're crazy right now. It's not that you're busy, because you prioritize things in your life that are a priority to you. 1 Thessalonians, Paul tells the Thessalonian church, for we speak as messengers approved by God to be entrusted with the good news. Our purpose is to please God, not people. He alone examines the motives of our heart. When was the last time you allowed someone to examine the motives of your heart? They're not looking at the motives of your heart. They're seeing the outward appearance. And he's saying only God can examine the motives. My purpose, your purpose, is to please God, not people. If you're in this room, you're like, I don't know my purpose. I don't know what God wants to do in my life. I've just told you, your purpose is to please God. That's your purpose. It's to every single day say, God, what are your expectations of me? God, what do you want from me today? It's to listen to his voice when it doesn't even make any sense, when it doesn't make sense on paper, when it doesn't make sense with how you feel, when it doesn't line up with how you feel. You're still listening to what God asks you to do, because it's about what he thinks, not what man thinks. I'm telling you, when I stand before God, one of the hardest things that I think will happen is that my life will be looked at, and God will say, you were more concerned about people and approval of them than of me. And it won't matter then. It won't matter what people think. It won't matter. And this is what he's trying to say. Paul talks in Galatians 5 about fruit coming from our lives, and we know these fruits. We teach our kids to remember them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. We get them to memorize it. And Paul's telling them, like, guys, the Galatian church, the fruit that is coming from your life is a result. Love is a result of where you're spending your time. Peace is a result of where you're spending your mind. Listen, try this. Try this. And don't just say no this week, but say no to good things. Say no to obvious things. Say no to things that you know aren't God. Pray about things that you need to say no to. On paper, it could be the best job in the world. On paper, it could be the most money you've ever made. On paper, it could look like an ideal scenario, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's God. I've heard it. I've seen it. Luke 10 is an example of this. Verse 38 says, Jesus and his disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem. They came to this certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. See, when we try to please everyone, we not only wear ourselves out, but we ruin the chances of winning at life because we're not the most effective person. When you're tired, when you're distracted, you're not the best you. There needs to be moments and days in your life, every single day, where you take a moment away from whatever it is that you're doing. It's your job. Listen, I'm not going to go there. It's your job. Yes, I will. So when I back in the day, I used to work and, this might be totally bad. But anyway, are we live streaming right now? Oh, we are. Thumbs up. Sweet. All right. I used to get upset when I worked at a certain establishment because people took smoke breaks. It drove me nuts because I didn't smoke, I don't get a break. And so I fought it. And so I started taking smoke breaks, pretending I was smoking, but I was really using that time to pray. And I did it because I needed a time away from the craziness of that job, and I couldn't take a prayer break. So I had to do something. And so, yeah, I smelled like smoke, but it was a moment for me to, you every single day have to take a break and you have to sit at Jesus' feet, because if you don't do that, you're going to be so distracted and you want to know why you keep losing at life. You want to know why you keep failing at life. You want to know why you can't get past an addiction or distraction or anything like that. It's because you're not taking the time to be Mary, because you think you're doing everything you can to be Martha and you think you're fixing everything. But I'm telling you, only if you figure out that you're Mary will you ever be able to be a Martha. You have to do it. Nobody can make you. You have to decide on your own, like, hey, I got to sit at Jesus' feet. Jesus said, listen, your sister, you think she's not doing anything? She's actually chose the right thing, the worthy thing. Listen, some of the hardest things that I ever do, pastoring and coaching is, I mean, everything's political, you guys. Everything's political. I think about the scales of people that coach. You know, Mike Matheny, for example, here, he's a good Christian guy, but he's got 9 players on the field, 25 of them on the roster. That means 16 guys think that they should be played. 45,000 people think they are the manager. They're criticizing everything that he does. If he loses, he's the worst. If he wins, he's the best. It's just how it is. It's fickle. It's weird. It's crazy. But the larger the scale, the more responsibility, the more opinions, the more criticism, the more those things happen. Why? Because everybody thinks that they know how to do it better than you. And if you give in, if Mike Matheny gives in to every single person's opinion in the stadium, every single person's opinion, those 25 guys on his roster, he only has to approve, find the approval of one person, and that's the owner. That's the only guy that he has to find approval in. And the only approval that you and I have to find our approval in is Jesus. That's it. That's it. It doesn't matter. If people aren't going to like you, they're not going to like who you are. The fastest way to forget what God thinks about you is to start focusing on what other people think about you. That's the fastest way. If you're in this room, you're like, I don't know who I am. I don't know what God's called me to do. I'm just telling you right now, I'm giving you the solution to your problem. You are trying to approve your life, your worth, your identity from someone else, and it will never be found there. It'll only be found in Jesus. Being a people pleaser will take your focus off pleasing God. John 12 said it this way. Right after Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, only days before he's crucified, he says this. Many people did believe in him, however, including some of the Jewish leaders, but they wouldn't admit it for the fear that the Pharisees would expel them from the synagogue, for they loved human praise more than the praise of God. If I care more about what people think of me than what God thinks of me, when the pressure's on, I crumble. When the pressure to make a decision is on, I crumble. Because if I take my scenario to every single person, I say, here's what's in front of me. Now I'm going to get the opinions of all these other people. And some of it might be right. Some of it might be godly. Some of it. But if I take it to the bank and I don't go to the author and the finisher, I don't go to my source, I don't go to him, I don't sit at his feet and say, but God, what do you want to do? See, people should be confirming what God already said. Not the other way around. God shouldn't have to confirm what people say. People should confirm what God already told you. I love when people come in and they say, man, I was reading Galatians and this is what I got out of it. Or I was reading the Bible and God spoke that to me on Monday and you confirmed it today. I love that. Why? Because it's not me saying something. It's God confirming what he's already said to you. You hear God's voice. You don't need a mediator to go to God. You go to God. You sit at his feet. You hear what he's saying. You know who you are in Christ. You know. John 2, I love this too. Jesus said, because of the miraculous signs Jesus did in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration, many began to trust in him. Who wouldn't, right? Oh my gosh, look at all the miracles. Let's trust in Jesus. But Jesus didn't trust them. Because he knew all about people. No one needed to tell him about human nature, for he knew what was in each person's heart. Listen, this is not so much about you trusting God, but can God trust you? And we won't talk about that. We won't talk about whether I can trust God. Jesus didn't trust himself to the will of the crowd, and he doesn't want us to either. Because one week they said, Hosanna, King of the Jews. And the next week they yelled, crucify him. If we are going by the opinions of people, what is it? Is he the King of the Jews or should we crucify him? Because people's opinions are fickle. They put themselves in your position and they try to make the decision that Jesus was alone the one to make, not people. Lecrae said it this way, and I know he's a rapper, but he said, if you live for people's acceptance, you will die from their rejection. I didn't even rap it. You're welcome. I have to raise a lot of money for Speed of Light before that happens. Yeah? All right. Four quick things. Being a people pleaser will affect your relationship with God. Being a people pleaser will affect your ability to make good decisions. Being a people pleaser can make people uncomfortable around you. Let me say this. There's one thing about being uncomfortable. I think we try to do things to win people's approval, but can I say this? Follow Jesus and watch how much people will want to be around you. The reason Paul says there's no laws against these things is because something powerful happens when you act like Jesus, when you love like Jesus, when you give like Jesus, when you shut up like Jesus. One of the greatest miracles, in my opinion, is when Jesus is being crucified and they're pulling his beard and they're asking him dumb questions, that it said Jesus remained silent. If anybody had a defense case in all of history, it would have been Jesus. Yet in that moment, he kept quiet. Why? Because he knew who he was and he knew what he was called to be. You and I need to come to that same conclusion that we know who we are. We know what God's called us to be. It doesn't matter if you accuse us. It doesn't matter if you say something about us. It doesn't matter if you say that we've done this or we've done that. I don't need to defend that if I've not done that. And when was loving people gonna turn them off? If you wanna protest, go hand out waters at Pride Fest. If you wanna protest and you wanna say that what they're doing is sinful or is wrong, go love them where they are. Then they'll listen to you. There is no law against these things. To be a peacemaker, to be a person that loves, to be a person that lays down their life for another person. There's no laws against those things. People will want to be around you because that's contagious. But holding a sign up and saying things that God never even said is not going to win anybody to Christ. It's not going to show anybody love. And it's against what Christ would do. It's anti-Christ. Amen. I've never heard of it. Anybody winning the approval of the crowd by hating them, by showing distaste for what they stand for. But you love them, you might show them a different side of Jesus than they've seen in the past. Why? Because there's no law against these things. Being a people pleaser will wear you out. Are you tired today? Well, who are you trying to impress? And don't get me wrong. You need to put deodorant on. You need to brush your teeth. You won't be known as that guy. That's not winning people to Jesus either. Yeah, I'm just going to listen to the guy that smells, but I didn't really care what he had to say because I couldn't be around him because he stinks. Yeah? I'm not saying that you can't love people. I am saying, are we presenting Christ? I would say this, when people hear your name, what do they think about? Like, first reaction. Not from a people-pleasing standpoint, but from a do-they-know-Jesus standpoint. Here's two things, two vital truths. Not everyone will love me, and those who do love me will never love me the way that I need to be loved. This woman of almost 20 years of marriage, she loves me. I know she loves me. But she can't fulfill the way I need to be loved. Only Christ can do that. Only Christ can do that. There's going to be a moment she fails me, and there's going to be more moments where I fail her. Thanks for not saying amen in that. She did, but you guys did. There's going to be those moments. Why? Because there's a hole in my heart that was never meant for her to fulfill. Only God can do that. And I'm going to be wondering. I'm going to be questioning. I'm going to walk in confusion. I'm going to walk busy until I give in to that and become Mary. Until I discover that. A couple passages as we close. Band comes. Proverbs says it this way. Fearing people is a dangerous trap. But trusting the Lord brings safety. Or means safety. Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Man. That is, when you are set out, or as Colossians 3:23 says, doing everything to work diligently for the Lord instead of man, when you set out to please the Lord, even your enemies, the people that despise you, the people that don't like you, will be at peace with you because what you're doing pleases the Lord. And then this passage in Mark chapter 8, a passage I've said before, but I've only said the first part. Peter, one of the greatest disciples, the biggest soul winner of all time, Jesus says to him, he rebukes him and he says, get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Jesus rebukes Peter, one of the greatest soul winners of all time, and he rebukes him and he says, get behind me, devil. Have you ever been called devil? I mean, seriously. But why does he say, get behind me, Satan? He says, get behind me, Satan, because you're not thinking godly. You're thinking from a man's standpoint. And Jesus has already said things. With man, that is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. See, you and I, with man, it's impossible to see people change. You're never going to change because you and I can't change people. So you can try and be working for approval, trying to work to get people to like you, and you can't change them. You can influence them. You can be a good example for them, but you can't change anybody. But with God, all things are possible. You can change. It's impossible, you guys. There's certain things that are impossible. And he says, Peter, if you're going to continue to think like this, like a man thinks and not like God thinks, you're tapping into the wrong things. So again, you come back to this question. And this question is real simple. Who am I trying to impress? Is it God or is it man? Do I want the approval of God? Do I need the approval of man? Because it doesn't matter. Crowd of people, you're going to get a lot of different opinions. And if you listen to them all, you're going to be schizophrenic, number one. Multiple personalities, for sure, if I believe them all. If I believe them all. We pray? If I could have any of our prayer team come today And just as we sing this song, here's what I'm asking of you. You're in this room. You're in this room and you just say, you know what? I just need someone to pray with me. Maybe I'm going through a situation, a scenario. Maybe it's a relationship issue. Maybe it's just a struggle. It's just an honest evaluation. Maybe you're in this room and you're like, you know what? I'm so consumed by what people think of me. I'm so consumed by what people say about me and winning their approval. I'm in this room, I want to be consumed by what God thinks. I want to know who I am in Christ. See, God is not the author of confusion. The enemy is, and the enemy would want you to walk around confused, not knowing who you are. But God says he wants to renew and restore your mind so that we might think like God thinks. So if you're in this room as we sing this song and you need prayer for anything, there's people here ready not to judge you, not to condemn you, but to love you where you are, to agree with you and to pray for you. I strongly advise to lay down some pride today, which is what has to happen when you ask someone to pray for you. You got to lay down pride. I'm asking you to be strong today, to lay down pride and submit yourself to another person and say, will you pray for me? I need prayer. In fact, I pray that right now. Come against any pride issues in this room that would hinder someone from following Jesus. And I echo what Jesus just prayed in Mark 8:33. Get behind me, devil. I rebuke that spirit of the enemy that would come to steal, kill, and destroy. And God, I pray restoration of joy, restoration of hope. God, I pray for the moms in this room that maybe this is a first Mother's Day of some sort. The women in this room, maybe they've had a miscarriage. God, I pray for them today. Their desire to be a mom. God, I pray strength in the name of Jesus over them. I pray healing over hearts today. Name of Jesus. Would you stand with me this morning?
Your presence is all I need. It's all I want. It's all I seek. And without